What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast. Thank y'all for being here.
Happy Wednesday.
Wow. Okay. Sure. Go ahead, honey. Come on.
What?
I'm putting the spotlight on you. Usually you start it and I have to think of stuff to say. And here you go. I mean, I'm not saying anything. Go ahead. It's all on you now. It's pretty hard, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I do have an easy part. So, but I like my part.
Yeah, I know. I just want to flip it this week.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope you guys are having a great week so far. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the last episode. If you didn't, go back and watch it. It was a really good one. We talked about things that the Lord has taught us recently, just about resting in his presence and stop trying to find our purpose in what we're doing for a living, but focusing on our personal relationship with him. That way we can be equipped to grow the kingdom. So, yeah, updates. We had our 20-week appointment yesterday when we're filming this. So I'll be 21 weeks when this comes out. It went really, really good. They said that she's normal. Everything was forming normal. Everything in her brain and her body. It was an anatomy scan, so they, like, literally went through everything.
Yeah. She's 13 inches long.
No, she's not. I was like, wait, no, I don't think that's right. No, but she's like, 11 ounces right now.
Yeah, she's 11 ounces.
She's not quite a pound yet.
Yeah, and I think she said
16 and a half, or 6.5 inches long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what your reaction was. She's 13 inches long, 7 pounds, 20 weeks. Yeah.
She's ready to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's got a lot more growing to do. But
talked a lot about C-sections yesterday.
Well, we were talking about big babies because she had someone that was in there getting an ultrasound probably a couple years ago. And she measured like an 11-pound baby.
Yeah.
And this woman wanted to just naturally give birth to her. And she was like, there ain't no way that's coming out. Because she was like smaller than me. Like she was very, very petite, like short and just not a lot of room. So they had to, they had to cut it out. But so far she's measuring average, but we'll have to see later on because, like I said, she grows like at the end of the pregnancy. I think they said it's a half a pound a week for the last couple of weeks. So crazy stuff. But all of that's going good. Coaching still available. So
y'all will see an ad in a little bit.
Halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
You'll see an ad.
Waterloo's still cool. It's still hip. It's still in style.
I haven't even opened mine.
Yeah.
They liked our story. Reshared the couple.
Yeah.
Also, thank you so much for posting that story because I didn't know who they were. Didn't you say you saw them or something?
Someone DM'd me and they were like, "Yeah, we have a Waterloo every single time with the episode because y'all do it and we think it's a fun tradition." I was like, "Post it on your story," and then I want to repost it.
Well, and we gave them a shout out.
Yeah, so they posted it. We gave them a shout out, and then I tagged Sparkle or Waterloo, and I was like, "I think it's time for a sponsorship." And then they replied to my story with a bunch of emojis and said cheers. And I was like, okay, so this is definitely not run by an American.
Yeah.
Because when I had an assistant in my business, I would go through the DMs And she would reply with a bunch of emojis, and I had to tell her to stop. And she was like, why? It's really good to send that stuff. And I'm like, no, that's weird in America.
Yeah.
Like, just do text. Don't send a bunch of emojis. Like, maybe one. But they sent, like, a heart eyes, a heart, confetti, and something else. And then it, and then they hit return, and they said, cheers, guys, with an exclamation mark.
Yeah. The business is in Austin, Texas. I highly doubt someone from Austin, Texas would put that on there.
Yeah. But, yeah, those of y'all that drink Waterloo and watch our episode, tag them, because maybe we'll get a case.
Yeah, tag them in the comments on the YouTube video so that they see the YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Because Waterloo's Instagram doesn't have that many people on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had like 67,000. I was shocked. Yeah, I thought that they would have like millions.
Yeah, I was shocked too, because Waterloo's very, very popular.
Well, kind of.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's not as popular as LaCroix.
Yeah,
but
LaCroix, yeah.
It's better than LaCroix.
I think it's better than LaCroix.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, what's the other sparkling water that's really popular? It's called Spendrift?
No. Well, that one uses real fruit juice and it's disgusting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
It literally tastes like they, if you get a lime one, it tastes like they put like a teaspoon of lime juice in it.
And then just carbonated water.
It's, yeah, it's disgusting. Mm.
So it's almost like club soda.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really gross. I think I bought a couple because they were on sale at Kroger a couple years ago. And I had one in my fridge for like years because I just didn't like
it. Big
day. Yeah, it was really gross. But I saw a video that you sent me about like the ingredients in here because it says natural flavors.
Sure, yeah.
They say natural flavors because they don't want to give you the recipe.
Oh, I know. I just sent that video because I just find it interesting how every nutritional person on the internet nitpicks every single ingredient list. And I saw this video, and it was this girl cutting cucumbers, and she was like, if I cut on a plastic cutting board, then I get microplastics in my food. If I cut with the glass cutting board, then my knife goes dull. And then if I cut with the wooden cutting board, then guess what? My food gets contaminated. And you know, and she was like, and you know what? I'm sick of this. Just kill me because this is getting ridiculous. Yeah. It was so funny because I'm like, it's so true. You can go on the internet and you could literally find three different people that are in shape saying three different things, mm-hmm. and all of them think they're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. I like doing my thing, and it's worked for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do I think that it's healthy? Like on the plastic side, do I think it's healthy for us to microwave stuff in plastic bowls and then cut stuff on plastic cutting boards? No, I don't think it's healthy. But here's what I'll also say. Do I think it's going to shave off 10 years of our life? No, I also don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do I think it's going to affect the way you feel? I also don't think.
Yeah. It's not like one of those things where it's like McDonald's versus cooking food.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It has to do with like preparation. Like obviously we don't want you to eat McDonald's every single day.
Yeah.
Like please don't. We want you to live long.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that whole culture of like,
it's like
what to eat, what not to eat. Like I saw recently,
it's like the woke side of nutrition.
It is.
It's crazy.
I saw a video or a couple videos recently because I've been looking up like pregnancy meals, trying to get a variety because your girl still has food aversions and I have a hard time eating some meals. But I was looking at these recipes or like what these girls were eating in a day just to get an idea. And I've noticed that girls stopped sharing like the calories and the macros and everything. The only macro that they share is protein. And I was like, thank you. Because they are getting into girls' heads. Yeah. Like you see a 5'2 girl that's lifting all the time and she's eating a meal that's like 350 calories. Well, someone that's my size might see that and be like, oh, that's how much I need to be eating. Well, now you're under eating.
Yeah.
Because you're not the same person, you know? So now they stopped sharing that. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of people that make videos and say like, avoid dairy and avoid gluten and do all this stuff. And it's like, okay, there's a reason why your body needs it, yeah. you know? Like,
yeah. It's all crazy. For views and clicks. They're like, stop eating vegetables. It's bad for you. And then you get to the end of it. So should you stop eating vegetables? Of course not. It's good. Yeah. But the first like 2 minutes is them just like bashing vegetables and saying like, mm-hmm. this is why you shouldn't. It's a bunch of like, if they spray them with pesticides and yeah. stuff, like it's a bunch of crap yeah. just to get a bunch of views.
Yeah.
So
it's really messed up. I mean, I fed into that. Yeah. So yeah. like I was dairy free because I literally convinced myself that I was yeah. dairy intolerant and that it was yeah. backing me up.
Yeah.
And I get a hormone test. I get my hormones tested and it comes back with all the vitamins I'm deficient in and they all come from dairy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
I add it back into my diet. My skin clears up. I'm still having issues.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I'm dairy intolerant. It just means that I need to add more fiber into my diet, you know? Yeah. But so if you need help with nutrition, let us know because we yeah. have nutrition plans as a part of the program.
Yeah. And this recipes is not, this is not part of the topic or whatever. So I don't know how we got on this topic, this but is just last a
side tangent.
Last little plug. Thing is, what I want to say is, the best advice you're ever going to receive is if you want to feel good and look good, eat what God put on this earth. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
If a human touched it and put it in a box, for example, cereal,
mm-hmm.
Chips, mm-hmm. whatever, don't eat it.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Shop the perimeter of the grocery store.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
You're going to get your meats, you're going to get your dairy, you're going to get your vegetables, your fruits.
Yeah.
Bread, read the label.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Asher about this the other day, and if you actually read the label on like bread loaves that you buy at the store, like they have so many ingredients that you don't need in your
yeah,
body.
Yeah,
but the reason why yeah. they put it in there is because that's what preserves it exactly. so that they can keep it on the shelf longer to sell it to you.
Exactly.
So buy a loaf pan.
Yeah.
Look up a recipe.
It's not that hard to cook bread.
And make your own bread.
Yeah.
Buy a bread maker. My mom has one.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. You don't even have to mix the ingredients. You put all of the ingredients in there and it does it everything for yeah. you.
Mm-hmm.
Couple hours later.
You got fresh
bread. Timer goes off.
Bam.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bread.
Yeah. It's, trust me guys, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
I don't eat bread personally for the time being, but yeah, just,
I do.
Yeah. Just shop whatever that God has created. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you you'll feel better, look better, and probably be more confident too.
Yeah.
1,000%. Mentally, physically, all that good stuff. Okay. I'm done talking about fitness. I do that all day. So let's talk about something else.
Okay. So honey, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah. So we have a really cool topic today. We're going to talk about how to meet people where they're at. And treat them with love, and don't treat them on the legalistic side, and also not treat them on the lawlessness side. Just meet them where they're at and show them the love that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I want to start this. I guess I can start this by a story. I'm good at storytelling. So this 2 weeks ago, I started live streaming, and I share the gospel on Fortnite and stuff like that, and video games. And I also have people come up and share their testimony about Jesus. And this guy messaged me, and he was like, "Yo, we should maybe do this together." And I was like, "Oh yeah, maybe." I tuned into his stream, and And this is not me judging, this is me telling a story, and this is kind of how this episode came upon. So he also goes into lobby, shares the gospel, stuff like that, and he was telling this kid about the gospel. And he was like, "Hey, have you heard the gospel before?" He was like, "No." And he explained a little bit, and they got into a fight, like a Fortnite fight, because they were playing games, and so they, you know, killed the squad or whatever. And then he continued to tell it. And he was like, "And that's the gospel." And then the little kid was like, "Okay, well, that's not what my mommy and daddy believe." And his response was, "Well, you said you wanted to hear the gospel and I told you. And that's the truth. So what do you want me to say?" And my response, like internally, I was like, I don't know if that's the right way to approach the situation. But I also will say it's hard talking to a 10-year-old because they're just going to take their mom and dad's beliefs. But that's kind of an extreme example. But we do get a lot of people that will haze us and throw a bunch of dirt on Christians. And then our response is emotional instead of, well, this is actually expected. Mm-hmm. I'll give y'all an example. The Olympics is a great example. I can't tell you how many people went out of their way to make a video about how the Olympics was mocked and how there needs to be a movement about how Christians are being, I guess, like tortured or whatever. And my initial response is like, why do y'all care? Like, y'all really care to try and get the government involved in saying stop Christian hate when we already know the truth, when the Bible actually teaches that we are going to, you know, what's the word, honey?
We're going to be persecuted.
We're going to persecute it. Yes. Yes. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. Yeah, the Bible literally teaches we're going to be persecuted and mocked the same way Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
So if we believe that book, why are we making videos saying this shouldn't happen? We should put a stop to this. So then you don't really believe the book then. I'll be honest. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I will say as well. Is because when a lot of Christians get mocked, emotions get tied to it. And so what they'll do is they'll attack the person who is mocking Jesus. And I'll tell you guys one thing. If you attack the person who's mocking Jesus, you're never going to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of the gospel and the whole point of Jesus is for us to be refined in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus never emotionally took himself out for someone else just to prove them wrong or whatever. You know, a really good response if someone's mocking Jesus Christ or whatever is not coming back and saying, you're wrong, you suck, you're gay, whatever it may be. Because a lot of times that's the emotional reaction that our flesh wants to give.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Turek said this yesterday, and it really resonated with me. Is he was like, evil is good, because what we think we are doing is when we say you're wrong, your truth isn't correct, Jesus is the truth, we think that's good because the gospel's good. But the way we are actually telling it to them is very evil.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never spread him, the good news, in an evil way. Mm-hmm. It was always in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It was never... you know, you're terrible, you suck, you know, repent or you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, I am the truth. You know, I'm the way.
He gave them an option to believe, and if they didn't, he walked away.
Yeah, that's all it was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't he would stay in that situation and continue to attack them. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like that. So that's kind of our heart posture behind this episode.
Yeah, Asher and I have... unfortunately had a lot of conversations and witnessed a lot of scenarios that did not represent Jesus well, and it's also been something that we have struggled with in our walks, just being online and being able to talk to different people and hear different stories, and we both have struggled with the same things that other Christians have struggled, which is, how do you approach someone that is living in sin, and how do you share the gospel? And then also, how do you love someone for where they're at in their sanctification process?
Mm-hmm.
Because not everyone's is the same. If you look at Asher and mine was really slow. This October will be 3 years of me following Jesus, and it took me a good full year probably to let go of a lot of things, and I still struggled after that with some things, but like the majority of it, like the first year, like I was literally trying to play both sides. Like I had worldly friends that I would hang out with and they were trying to pull me back. I was allowing them to. And my sanctification process was way slower. Asher's was instantaneous.
Pretty much, yeah.
He gave his life to Jesus. I was ready for a change. Yeah, and he did a 180. And that's expected. And that's very common. But a lot of times there's people that still hold on to things or still hold on to the way that they lived their life. So our heart behind this episode is to just really have a conversation with each other about things that we've witnessed or had conversations with other people about, just to help you guys understand like the heart behind the gospel and how us as believers and followers of Jesus should be spreading it and loving people well.
I want to start at John chapter 8, verse 1, because this will kind of set the scene for everything. If y'all didn't know, the manuscripts of John chapter 7, verse 53, through John 8, verse 11, like they don't exist. All right. Like a lot of them have been like pushed away. However, this is what we believe it to say. So this is John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away at one time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Women, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really like about everyone's heard that story, but I don't know why my mind immediately went to that. There are a ton of others. One thing is, I don't know why the disciples never wrote about what Jesus wrote in the dirt. I'm very interested to see what he may have written. People ask me, you know, what will you ask Jesus in heaven? To tell you guys the truth, I don't know if any of us are going to ask Jesus anything. Yeah. Because the way heaven is explained, we're not going to care.
Yeah.
We're going to be in God's presence, okay?
Yeah.
But if there is so much of a, you know, questionnaire or whatever going on in heaven, I would ask Jesus what he wrote, because I just think that's really cool and how it was never included.
Mm-hmm.
in the manuscripts. But anywho, what we see in that story is actually a lot of things, but one thing that I like to attack whenever I talk about that story is how Jesus treated her.
Mm-hmm.
And how he still told the truth without condemning her.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to say a couple of things. In that story, in the law of Moses, in order to stone her, the man also has to be present, and he wasn't. And on top of that, the Pharisees that brought her, they could have been lying, because as you guys saw in the chapter, they tried to trap Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole nother part. We're not really going to get into that part, because that's more of like law and Old Testament stuff. I don't really want to get into that right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I really want to talk about was just the heart posture that Jesus had behind, you know, the sin that she committed. Because a lot of us encounter people that go through sin, mm-hmm. and our initial thought is, why are you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just not do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the initial response we should have is, you know, accept them for where they're at. And then if they give us the opportunity to mm-hmm. present them the truth, mm-hmm. then go about it. And I'll be the first to say it, guys. I'll be honest with you. And a lot of y'all may disagree with me, and that's completely okay. But a lot of times spreading the gospel is not reciting John 3:16. Mm-hmm. A lot of times spreading the gospel means loving someone where they're at mm-hmm. and then accepting them for who they are. Mm-hmm. Because that's not really a thing in today's world. Mm-hmm. All right. I love how the LGBTQ community, that's their thing is love, accept everyone and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people in that community actually aren't accepting of one another. That's why there are so many different genders, people trying to be like the next big thing in that mm-hmm. community because they just don't feel accepted. Mm-hmm. But true acceptance is, hey, this is what I'm going through. And you're like, dang, man, yeah, that's terrible. I'm just going to sit here with you. Mm-hmm. You can talk about, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. I'm not going to judge you for it.
Right.
And then if the opportunity arises, yeah, sure. Share your testimony about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But also, it's really good to talk to that person about things you are struggling with too. Because a lot of times people are afraid to share what they're struggling with because they don't feel like anyone else is struggling at all. Mm-hmm. And that's actually not the case. Everyone's struggling. Like I tell people this all the time that watch my streams and whatnot. I am literally just as bad as anyone else to have ever lived, ever. I'm not any better just because I'm on the internet making videos about Jesus. I'm not better than your pastor. I'm not better than, you know, you. I'm not better than anyone. I'm just as guilty. And that's why we need a savior. And that's also one thing that really changed my heart posture when it comes to accepting people from where they're at is it's not until you realize how guilty you really are until you can accept people in the place that they're in. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't think you're guilty, then you're never going to accept people. Mm-hmm. And when you realize you are guilty, that's when you're like, okay, I need a savior. But if you don't feel guilty, one, you're not going to think you need a savior. And two, you're definitely not going to accept people from where for where they're at. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Because yeah, I've accepted Jesus. Yeah, I'm deemed righteous. Guess what? I'm still guilty, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what Jesus saves us from, yeah. you know? Quick interruption before we get back to the show. Guys, we just want to let you know that our coaching services are live. So if you've been struggling with your fitness journey and you are looking to get in shape or maybe just struggle in that area, we are there to help you.
We offer personalized workout plans through a private app, constant communication with us, and also a personalized nutrition plan with recipes. There are over 1,000 to choose from on there. So if you have been struggling and want our help, please reach out to us or visit the website, which is betterthanbeforebrand.com to see some testimonials and also fill out an application so that we can reach out to you and schedule a call.
Thank you guys. And let's get back to the show.
Yeah. That was a really good point, honey. I also want to make a comment because I think a lot of people carry a lot of weight with the word accept. And it doesn't mean that you agree with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because if you're loving someone where they're at, that's in that community, and you're a follower of Jesus. I want to say follower because believer and follower are two very different things.
Yeah, if you follow Jesus, you're a believer. But
yeah,
automatically, but believers,
but you can believe in Jesus and not follow his word, mm-hmm. which unfortunately a lot of people do. But if you're a follower of Jesus and you encounter someone within that community and you're loving them where they're at and the journey that they're on to find truth, that does not mean that you're accepting their way of life. It's the same thing as like loving someone that is in a different type of sin, you know? Yeah. If someone starts coming to church because they struggle with an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction, then you love them where they're at, and it doesn't mean that you're accepting their behavior at all. Because like I said, if you're a follower of Jesus, that goes against the Bible, right? So we're not accepting the behavior. We're loving them and we're giving them the grace and mercy that Jesus gave us. Mm-hmm. And this is something that unfortunately the church has gotten wrong a lot. And I've heard countless stories of good stories of people going to church. There was one, I talked about it on this podcast before, but I think it was a boy who was had transitioned into a woman, and she started going to church. He started going to church, and he started detransitioning, and they loved him where he was at in his journey. He mm-hmm. was on a journey for truth. That way of life was not fulfilling him. He knew that there was more, mm-hmm. which is why he went to church. And they loved him and treated him with so much kindness, and like they just did such a good job to the point where he gave his life to Jesus. He's now fully himself and he's embracing it. And I just listening to the interviewer, she said, it is amazing to hear that the people at that church treated you that way. Mm-hmm. She's like, it is rare. And if you hear someone that is so against Christianity and so hateful and just will not give you the time of day, if you just ask them, like, why are you so against it? If they were honest, probably like 75% of the people would say it's because of someone that claimed Jesus's name and tried to represent him and did it wrong, mm-hmm. or it was the church.
Yeah.
And church hurt is real, whether it's being physically affected by someone in a church, which unfortunately happens, or mentally, just by the way that they talk to you and treat you. And it's really unfortunate. And I'm really glad that we found a church that teaches us to love people where they're at. Like mm-hmm. our pastor's heart is literally that people matter to God, so they matter to us. Mm-hmm. And there's a passage that I want to read because it explains that all sin is equal. I've heard so many people say this, like, all sin is equal in God's eyes. And in my mind, it made sense, but I never had scripture to back it up until I was studying in my Bible and I read a passage in Luke where Jesus literally proves that mm-hmm. in his words. And unfortunately, for some reason, certain sins to people are like beyond the forgivable and just are super, they just condemn people that do them, like extremely. And it's really unfortunate because the truth is, if I get drunk and lose all sense of myself in that moment and do something that I regret, it is just as bad as someone changing their gender or being with the opposite sex or with the same sex. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read the scripture that says that. Okay, so this is in Luke 13. I'm just going to read the dialogue between Jesus and I forget who he's talking to.
The religious leader.
Yeah, I'm just going to read the whole dialogue and what Jesus says. So Luke 13, starting at verse 1. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. So he's basically saying, you really think that those people are worse? They're killing people, offering sacrifices, and you think that they're worse than you? No, you're all in the same boat unless you all repent of your sins, mm-hmm. right? And it really just levels the playing field with non-believers and where they're at. A lot of people are so against prison ministry because they're like, I don't understand how this is a thing. You go in and you're preaching to people that have been convicted felons, and that's, I think it's actually worse than that. They're put in prison for just really bad crimes.
Yeah.
And these people are going in and preaching them the gospel. And it's like, that's an amazing task.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going into church, you're talking to someone who, you know, may lie occasionally,
right?
May have cheated on a boyfriend or girlfriend. And then you're going into a prison and you're talking to someone who has may have killed somebody.
This person may have murdered a 9-year-old down the block.
Yeah. Or a drunk driving
yeah.
accident or whatever it may be, vehicular homicide. It could be anything. But they deserve the same gospel that the person that's just lied in their life deserves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we all deserve to be saved by Jesus. And the whole point that we're getting at in this episode is that there is a line, a road essentially, between the ditch of lawlessness and legalism. Because there's some people that go way far on one end and they're like, they're the Pharisees. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, or else you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not what Jesus says. And that's what we talked about on the last episode, 2 episodes ago, on how to get into heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2 episodes ago. But then you have people on the other side that are, this is the difference. You have those people, right? They're actually leading, the Pharisees in the Bible, they're actually leading these people away from Jesus. They're making it harder for them to follow Jesus. If you go up to someone and you say, you know, there's this man many years ago that died on the cross for your sins that wants to save you. And you're like, you can have this as a gift. And they're like, oh, this is amazing. Like, this is what I've been searching for. My life is empty, but now it's going to be full. And then you say, well, the only way you can get that is if you do this, 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 and you follow all of these rules. You're making them not want to follow Jesus if you present it that way, which a lot of denominations and certain people will say that.
Yeah.
But then you have it on the other side where they're like, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus. They're wearing a cross, they're claiming his name, and they're sinning, knowing that they're sinning. And they think that they're just some outlier where it's not going to affect their relationship with God. So there is a middle road that we should be on in between those two things. Like, we don't go so far. Like, this whole episode is not saying, except people that are claiming the name of Jesus and sleeping with their neighbor's wives. Like, not what we're saying at all.
Yeah.
We're saying the people that are trying to follow Jesus and they're searching for truth and they're maybe might not yet accepted him or maybe recently accepted him and now their life is shifting and they're turning around, loving them on that journey. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
You know, not rushing their sanctification process. It's not your journey. It's theirs.
Yeah.
It's their personal relationship with the Lord. Now, disclaimer, real quick, because I know for a fact there's probably women specifically, maybe some men, watching this episode or listening that may have just heard me say that and say, oh, my significant other is struggling with this sin and I'm just going to love them where they're at. Now, there is a difference. If you are with someone that is struggling with a deep sin that is affecting your relationship with them, it might be time for you to take a step back and let them deal with that sin.
Yeah.
I'm being serious because yeah. There's a lot of girls that are like, I'm going to save him or guys, I'm going to save her. That might not be your job. Your job is not to get someone out of their sin so that you can be together with them.
Wait, wait, wait. That's not your job.
That's what I'm saying. That's not your job.
Well, no. You said that might not be your job. No, it's not your job, period.
Yes, yes.
No human can save another human from their sin.
Exactly. Now, if you're friends with the person, like let's say it's your girl and one of your best friends is trying to follow Jesus and she still likes women, okay? You can walk with her along the journey and help her along the way. But it's not your job to if you guys are out and she's like lusting after someone, another female, and you like instantly condemn her, like that's not your job. Like you have to let her go on the journey. Now, if this is different, if the person just feels like they don't care, like I said, if they're just like openly living in sin and they accept their sin and say, I can be this way and follow Jesus, that's a different story.
Yeah, you like, just shouldn't be with them at all.
Exactly. That's like someone that, like I said, someone that thinks that they're an outlier.
Yeah.
In this situation. Like, oh, I know Jesus wrote this in the Bible, but you know, we're in 2024 and it just doesn't affect me.
Did God really say that?
Yeah.
Newsflash. Yeah, yes, he did.
And his word stands true today, tomorrow, and forever.
Yeah. Like, did God really say I can't have sex with my girlfriend before marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Did God really say I shouldn't live with my partner before marriage? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You know? Did God really say, you know, I can't steal even though I'm broke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did God say I can't curse even though that person was really acting like a ASS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did say that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's when it gets tricky when you're over here asking, did God really say? I watched a Frank Turek video about that last night.
Yeah.
It's a very slippery, slippery slope, my friends, when you say, did God really say?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you one thing. You asking, did God really say? You know the answer.
Yeah.
You already know the answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to convince yourself otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because,
actually, that's a whole nother topic. Next episode, we are going to talk about why people think evil is good. We need to talk about that.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead,
honey.
Stay
tuned. Yeah. We kind of knew that we were going to talk about this like a couple days ago, but I'm still studying in Luke, and I just read from my regular Bible. So this is now my study Bible, which is why it's a couple chapters behind. But this is in chapter 11, and this is when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about their legalism. And he's invited in their home. They have dinner and he doesn't wash his hands. And the Pharisees are like, did you really just come in here and do that? You're a disgrace, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when in verse 39, the Lord says, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So basically he's saying, like, you guys appear to be righteous and like you're following me, but on the inside, I know where your heart's at.
Yep.
He knows where we're at and what we're feeling and thinking. And he knows when we're dirty on the inside. Right.
Yep.
And so I use a commentary app and I'm quoting him. I forget his name. David
Guzgick.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
This is from the app. Like, this is his
enduring
words.
Word, everybody.
Yes.
Enduring word.
This is his words, but I thought this quote was so good. I read it to Asha yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Was it by David? Or he uses a lot of quotes from
Spurgeon. It was his.
Okay.
It was his. This was a section of his.
Okay.
He says, legalism of this sort assumes that people will only know we follow God if we do all these things associated with rules and regulations. Instead, Jesus said that the real mark of a believer is the love that they have for others in God's family.
Boom.
Here's a point I want to make.
Yeah.
At the end of that, it says God's family.
Yeah.
Who's in God's family?
Not everyone.
Not everyone. Not everyone's a child of God.
Yeah.
Everyone's made in his image.
Yeah.
But not everyone is in his family. We're mm-hmm. in his family if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and is the Son of God, right? Mm-hmm. And if someone comes to you and says, I truly believe in the gospel, I believe that story, but they're still struggling with a sin that was a part of their life for their whole entire life leading up to this. It is not the work of Jesus to immediately condemn them and shun them and basically push them out of their religion, right? Yeah. Like, they want to follow Jesus, and now you're basically slamming the door in their face saying, no, you're not welcome here because you're struggling.
Yeah.
When... look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You're struggling too. Your sins might not be the same.
Yeah.
but you're still struggling.
Yeah.
I told Asher the other day, it's like, if I sat here and was judgmental towards someone, the Lord would probably be like, girl, what's your problem? You don't even trust me.
Yeah.
Like, I've been having issues with trusting the Lord lately because we're just going through a rocky season right now. We got a lot of changes coming up, and your girl's nervous and scared.
Yeah, she's very nervous, guys.
And
prayers are appreciated.
Yeah. And he would probably look at me and say that. Like, I tell you how many times in the Bible not to be anxious about the future and not worrying about how you're going to be provided for.
Yeah.
And yet you're doing it. Like, that's what he would say to me. He wouldn't even talk about their sin. He would literally look at me and say, look in the mirror. Like, clean the inside of your cup.
Yeah.
Like, it's dirty. Like, that's the whole purpose behind the, your casting, or what does they say? Get the plank out of your own eye before you help someone else. Like, that's the whole purpose of that story, is to say, like, what are you struggling with?
Yeah.
And if you guys are both struggling with something different, let's say you struggle with lying. Let's say that it's really hard for you to tell the truth in certain situations, okay? And you have a friend, like I said, that might be lusting after the same sex, okay? Why don't you guys work on your sin with God next to each other?
Mm-hmm.
It might not be the same sin.
Yeah.
But you're still going against his word.
Yeah. And it's also not one of those things where you're like, well, my sin's harder.
Yeah.
Fam. Michelle and I were having this conversation the other day as we were walking into our appointment. I forgot how it came up, but we were like, you know, there are followers of Jesus out there who think that their sin is harder to tackle than someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some Christians are trying to be the outlier in the faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's true. Well, you know, we hear a lot of stuff. And one stuff we hear a lot is, well, I'm struggling with this, and this sin is harder than lying. I'm gay. It's harder for me to become ungay than for me to stop lying.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? That doesn't make any sense at all.
We're all doing the same thing when we're leaving our sin. We're all dying to our flesh.
The Bible doesn't back that up about one sin's harder than the other.
Yeah.
What the heck? Yeah. Like, that literally makes no sense. But all of us are just trying to be so much different because we want attention.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Yeah.
That's, I want to talk a little bit about that verse a little bit too, honey. So, if y'all haven't seen my YouTube channel, I kind of rebranded everything. If y'all want to go watch, a video, it either got posted this morning or it's getting posted tomorrow morning, about me having a conversation with an agnostic person. And, when he came in the Twitch stream, he hated my guts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did not like me at all. Mm-hmm. Did not like what I was doing. Did not like the people in the chat. And I want to say, first off, shout out the community because they treated him with love. We all did a very, very good job. It never got emotional where we were like, shut up. Like, you're talking crap about us. Like, you're mean, go away, stuff like that. You know, he would say something and we would treat it with, yeah, I completely understand that you feel that way, you know, a couple months ago or 2 years ago or whatever. I was struggling with this and I didn't like God either, you know? And I ended up praying for him. And the next day he came around and he was like, hey, I actually would kind of want to play a game with you if we can talk about some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up talking, had a great conversation. I asked him at the end, I was like, did this change your mind about anything? He said no, which is completely okay because it's not up to me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you planted the seed. I just
planted a seed, but the whole conversation we had, what God was speaking into me the whole time was not, don't throw him a bunch of Bible because he doesn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just accept him for where he's at and talk about what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when people don't know who Jesus is, when you throw them Bible, they look at it like rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't know about you guys, when someone throws me rules, I do not like to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually rebel against rules a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I'll be completely honest. I've been arrested before. I just got pulled over literally with Michelle, that was an accident. I don't speed ever. Yeah. The speed limit dropped from 50 to 30 miles per hour.
And it was pitch black outside in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. Didn't know where I was going. And I was like, I think that's a cop right there. And then I saw the speed limit sign. It said 30. And I was like, oh, crap. I got to slow down. And he caught me at 50 going into 30. He didn't give me a ticket. First time ever. Mm-hmm. He didn't give me a ticket.
Really nice.
Really nice guy. We explained to him the situation. And he was like, yeah, dude, it happens all the time.
Thank you to all the cops who give grace like that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We had two dogs in the car. They were barking because they were like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it was
we were tired. It was literally it was 11 o'clock.
And I'm like, dude, I don't even live here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sorry.
We have Texas plates in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And
your driver's license is... My driver's license is Tennessee.
Yeah, I told him that I used to live here, but I've never been to my dad's house.
Yeah.
He definitely gave us a lot of grace because that should have been reckless driving.
Yeah.
But anywho, if you give someone a bunch of rules and regulations, they're like, I don't know if I can follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, yeah, you can follow Jesus, but you can't drink anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. I kind of like drinking,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not what God teaches, mm-hmm. you know? God says, come to me as you are. So... with this agnostic person, what I explained to him was I explained to him my situation before I came to God, all the things I struggled with. And now that I have a relationship with God and with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
now where my life is at
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I gave him one Bible verse.
Yeah.
Now, he did have a lot of questions. He talked a lot about morality. He talked a lot about evolution. I'm not going to get into that. Because that's not what I want to talk about in this episode. Maybe we can have an apologetics episode later. But if y'all want to see the full video, it's on my YouTube channel. We talk about everything, morality, evolution, honestly, why I believe what I believe, why the New Testament is true, why it's reliable, you know, why the disciples are reliable, why are the eyewitness testimonies the way they are. We talk about all that stuff. So if you want to go check it out, go check it out. But, one thing that he did applaud me on was he was like, we both did a very, very good job about putting our emotions to the side regardless of our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have seen preached throughout the gospel and what Jesus teaches
mm-hmm.
whenever he comes with someone that doesn't believe in him
mm-hmm.
is he puts his emotions to the side and he is literally, he's the person that is the truth.
Yeah.
And he still puts his emotions to the side.
Yeah.
You know, like
the only time he ever got angry and like flipped tables and stuff was when people were claiming his name.
Exactly.
And not, or the Pharisees where they're literally following the Old Testament, but they don't believe that he's the Son of God, even though they read about him.
Exactly.
You know, like that's the only time he
exactly.
took it personal. Which,
exactly.
Valid.
That's completely understandable.
Yeah.
But for someone that maybe of a different religion
mm-hmm. or has never heard
or never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you can't say, well, the Bible says this. Well, the Bible says this. Guys, they don't give a rip about the Bible.
No, they don't follow it.
They don't follow it. They've never read it.
Yeah.
They don't understand John 3:16, fam.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, if that's your favorite Bible verse, I would be surprised if you understand that verse to a T.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's another topic. But people take that verse and think it's just, that's a whole nother conversation. Great verse is the most powerful verse in the entire Bible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can't shove them John 3:15, 16, 17 in their face and think they're going to be saved because of it.
Yeah.
That's no.
Yeah.
No. John 3:16 is comprehended after you are saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's comprehended
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give that verse shoved into your face immediately and be like, oh, now I understand everything.
Yeah.
Nope. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I want to know when this generation of Christians started taking everything so personal.
Yeah.
Because they really do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's they take
I bet someone just took that so personal because I said John 3:16 is your favorite verse. But
well, no, what I'm saying is when they have a conversation with someone that doesn't believe
mm-hmm.
and then they don't believe after the conversation's over, they get angry.
Yeah.
And like they take it personal, like they were supposed to be the like, hold on. Even if someone comes to Jesus because of something that you told them, like you sharing your testimony maybe, or you bringing them to church, you did not do it.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that. You did not do it.
Yeah.
That was the Holy Spirit and Jesus working within that person, you planted the seed. You did not water it.
Yeah.
He took care of it. And yeah. People take it so personal when they share the gospel with someone. Like these street preachers, I have so much respect for you for going out there and teaching to people, random people on the street. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of respect. I want to hear how a conversation goes if someone doesn't believe. I've seen videos, which they're fantastic, where they'll go to rallies, but they won't, like the LGBTQ rallies, but they won't hold up a sign that says, "You're going to hell."
Yeah.
He just walks around with a mic and talks to people. And he just says, like, you know, would you believe this? Or like, let me just share the gospel with you, you know? And the end of the conversation gets to, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. And they don't want to make a decision right there. And he's like, okay, great. Can I pray for you?
Yeah. You're talking about Bryce Crawford.
I think so.
Yeah.
Really sweet guy.
Bryce Crawford's a guy that lives in Florida. I want him to be on our podcast so bad.
Like, everyone tag him.
Yeah. Everyone tag him and, you know, whatever, send him a DM. He would be really, really fun to have on the podcast. My brother actually watches him on YouTube sometimes, but he's very good at approaching people with love.
Yeah, and then if they say no, okay.
Yeah, if they
pray for them. Yeah. That's all you can do. Literally, when there's scripture where Jesus is sending out his disciples, it's when he picked all of them, and then he said, "Okay, here's what you're gonna do. You're going to go out and you're going to preach my word. Okay. Yeah. Come to a town," he says, "to find somewhere to stay," whatever. If they don't accept what you're saying, wipe the dust from your feet is what he says.
Yeah.
Jesus is telling his disciples to leave a town and let them be if they don't believe in him. That is the whole point of free will.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is human responsibility. If you share someone the gospel and they don't want to believe, that is on them on judgment day. Yeah. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
We're not in a competition.
Yeah.
If you're keeping tallies on people, like, it's great when churches are like, "Oh yeah, we've had this many people give their lives to Jesus." Okay, that's great. But like, why are we keeping tabs on people? It's not a competition.
Yeah.
Our church doesn't even do a altar call. Yeah. And they also don't keep in like track of how many people did. They leave it up to you. They say, at the end of every service, they say, if you're curious, here's a website. There's pamphlets up front. We want it to be a personal relationship between you and Jesus. We don't want to force you into anything.
We don't want it to be, "You're really emotional right now. We have the piano going."
Yeah,
I wonder how many people are actually saved because they're just really emotional.
That whole topic gets me really upset because I was that person that literally gave my life to Jesus every single time an altar call happened, quote unquote gave my life to Jesus, and I never actually did. I saw this post that said that like a bunch of people gave their lives to Jesus in Malibu or something recently at like a huge gathering. And I was like, did they really though? Or was it just like in the moment, like, come to Jesus?
Yeah. Was it a motivational speech?
Yeah.
I know what you're feeling.
Now,
God can give you all the money that you deserve. Just give your life to him right now. It's like, bro, stop promising them that stuff, please. Yeah.
Now, if you're listening and that's your story, I commend you.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. That's totally
awesome.
Possible.
Yeah.
We're just saying, like, it's usually overhyped.
Yeah.
And I want to know when this generation just got so just upset and like taking it so personal, like they're Jesus themselves.
Exactly.
And that, like, it's really hurting their, like, bro, it didn't even upset him. Like, people didn't accept him. And he was like, all right.
Yeah.
I leave you to your life. Like, that is the whole point of free will. Like, I'm not going to force you into a relationship with me because then you're not going to love me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But when people are online and commenting to people and making videos about other people and saying, like, you know, "Oh, I shared the gospel with this person. They were so rude," and yada, yada, yada. Well, yeah, because they know it's the truth.
Yeah, of course they're going to be rude about it.
Why do you think it's the only one that is so hated on and mocked? Like, if they open the Olympics with some tradition or story from the Quran, they would have been over. The Olympics would have been canceled. Literally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of the Muslims all over the world would have literally shut the Olympics down this year.
Yeah.
But no, it was Christianity. They know it's the truth. They think they're being funny.
Yeah.
You're not the judge.
Yeah.
There is nothing you sitting at home can do. Now, if you don't want to watch the Olympics, fine. Don't watch the Olympics. It was the same thing with Target. They were talking all about pride stuff, and all the Christians were like, I'm not shopping at Target,
bro. Show me your credit card statement. She went there last week.
Well, during that month, I get it. If you're taking your kids to Target and they're seeing all of this stuff and they start asking questions and you just don't want them to be involved in that,
yeah,
great. Don't take your kids to Target.
Yeah.
But like, there is nothing that we can individually do on earth to stop this from happening.
Yeah.
All we can do is get people to understand what the gospel's really like.
Yeah.
If you start making videos and you start shunning the people that did that, you are now just as bad as them.
Yeah.
You're being mean mm-hmm. about it. Like, I pray for all of the people that participated. There was a child involved in that whole opening ceremony. Like, I pray for all of their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get to Judgment Day and they stand before the Lord, because everyone will have to bow down to him. And if you get to that point and you don't want to believe in him, that's your own decision.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just tired of people taking everything so personal. Sorry. Yeah. But it's like, you're a Christian. Like, you're supposed to be loving. You're a follower of Jesus. You are supposed to be loving people as Jesus loves people. What does following someone mean? You're following their way.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Jesus way? To love.
To love.
And not condemn or shun or yell at people that don't have the same beliefs as you.
Yeah.
Or tell them that they're going to hell. That's not your place. At all.
I'll tell you one thing. That's craziness. That's crazy talk right there. That is crazy talk. Imagine trying to share someone the gospel. Wait, you're not going to accept this right now? I just explained you everything. You're going to hell. There was something a while back I wanted to say. So it was about the agnostic that I was talking to,
uh-huh.
and I was talking about the reliability of the New Testament,
uh-huh.
and I gave him an example and stuff like that, and I was like, "What do you have to say about that?" He was like, "Yeah, I guess I never thought about that." And right then and there, it's like he can't deny it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gave him all the evidence.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and so I wouldn't recommend saying this to people if they're new to the faith or not new to the faith, or you just had a conversation with them or something. But I asked him because I was curious, and I was like, because after I gave him all that evidence, he was like, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "What do you think about that?" And then he was like, "Yeah, I don't know." And I was like, "Okay, well, let me ask you this. What evidence do you need for you to believe in Jesus?" Now, like I said, I wouldn't recommend you saying this. This was more of like on the apologetic side.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're meeting someone that is like a non-believer or, you know, part of the LGBTQ community or something like that, and just spreading the gospel, don't go this route. All right. This is just an example. I asked him, because it all makes sense in a sec. So I asked him, "Well, what do you need to believe?" And he was like, "Well, apparently Jesus walked on water. If I saw that in front of my eyes, I would believe right then and there." And very interesting claim.
Sounds like he knows some stories.
Yeah, he does. He knows some stories. Yeah. Walking on water, water into wine.
Yeah.
Lazarus. Couple. He knows a couple of stories.
He sounds like he's been curious.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, okay, why is that?" And he was like, "Well, because I can just, you know, see it in front of my face."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Yeah, I, you know, I was wrestling with that a lot too when I was kind of discovering, you know, who Jesus was and stuff like that. But, you know, if you read in the Gospels, there are a lot of people who actually didn't believe in him after he performed miracles like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if he did come back down to earth right now and walk on water, I don't know if some of us would actually believe. It's a lot easier said than done. But if the Bible is true and the New Testament is reliable,
mm-hmm.
then a lot of people actually didn't believe in him when he performed these miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know, like, what happens if he doesn't? And he was like, "Well, then I guess I just won't believe." And here's the thing. I got him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a response.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of if you're deep into apologetics, it's not difficult because when you get into apologetics, you really, 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 really understand how much Jesus is actually the truth.
Yeah.
All right. It ingrains your faith like crazy.
It
increases your faith like crazy. There's nothing else that makes sense besides Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so if you're a baby believer, get into apologetics.
Yeah. And so at that point, I was like, I got him.
Mm-hmm.
He can't say anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I've already explained morality to him.
Mm-hmm.
I've already explained the reliability of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me another argument. Well, why doesn't he just come right down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He doesn't really have anything else besides one thing. And the one thing that's left is pride.
Mm-hmm.
There's a famous quote by Charles Spurgeon, and I love this quote. I've said it every single day for like 9 days straight now. I say it every single stream. Charles Spurgeon once said, "You don't have to drop your intellect to believe in the Bible. You have to drop your pride."
Mm-hmm.
Guys, a lot of times people don't believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Is because they don't want to.
Yeah.
It's not because there's not enough evidence.
Yep.
So when someone says that they don't believe in it after you explain to them the gospel, it has nothing to do with you
mm-hmm.
or the way you, maybe a little bit of the way you explain it, depending on who you are. But, well, I'm saying like, if you're too legalistic about it, but we kind of already went over that.
Right.
But for the most part, it comes with pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first to say it, guys. Guess what? I got to explain the gospel every single day or every single week for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I rejected it for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I wanted to be my own God.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to believe and follow what was in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Think back on your life, the amount of times you got explain the gospel and how many times you rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous for you to say, I got you. Why don't you believe in it? There's literally no other solution.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at your life, dude. It took you so long for you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to say, if you're like, well, that's not me. I was a believer my whole life. No, you weren't.
No.
You didn't believe in Jesus when you were 2 years old, dude.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You weren't a follower of Jesus when you were 2 years old. You couldn't even say your mom and dad's name at 2 years old. Maybe you could, maybe a little bit.
But, we're still learning about ages and
but
milestones.
Anywho, I would like to say that you were probably a believer because of your parents,
mm-hmm.
but you weren't a follower until you probably got out of your parents' house, or at least until you got in high school, until you started making your own decisions. So don't give me the, well, I was a believer my whole life, right? And if you were, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great to be raised in a Christian household. But that doesn't give you the right to look at someone and be like, what the heck? Why don't you just believe? Like, mm-hmm. How did that not convince you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. And that's one part of apologetics, because like I said, if you get deep into apologetics, there is no other answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, science, evolution, any other religion to ever exist ever, atheism, agnosticism, none of that makes sense
mm-hmm.
once you get really, really deep into apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
But the one key thing about apologetics is you have to know that the person you are talking to doesn't have the same level of faith you're on.
Yeah.
The biggest thing they're probably still struggling with is pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. Once you understand, and that's why I say you need to understand you're guilty too. Even though you know all this stuff, you're still guilty.
Yeah.
Jesus is the truth. You're a follower. Okay, great. Yeah, you're still guilty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Guess what? That person, he doesn't know who Jesus is. Yeah, guess what? He's still guilty.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying guilty in a way of you're going to hell. I'm saying guilty in a way of like you're still a sinner.
You're still a sinner.
Yeah.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. the person that claims that they've never sinned or they stop sinning the second they follow Jesus, they're incorrect.
Yeah, that's insane.
I like the way that JP said it. He was on an episode and he said, how many times in this episode do you think I'll sin? Because sin isn't always outward.
Yeah, it's not always outward. A lot of times it's inward. And also, I'll say one more thing. There are so many times we sin and we don't even realize we do it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, we can go from, you know, the Ten Commandments, or the Catholics like to say the seven deadly sins. Yeah, we can go off that.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many times where we commit other sins where we don't even know we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give y'all an example. Stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many times have you guys stolen a paperclip from your work, put it in your bag, didn't realize you did it, and now using that paperclip for your own personal papers at home.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just these paper clips are only 10 cents a box.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's the principle. And guess what? You didn't even know you did it.
Yeah.
But guess what? God knows you stole.
Yeah.
So don't give me that where you can't sin anymore, or you don't sin anymore once you give your life to Jesus. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Michelle does. Michelle does more than me. No, I'm kidding.
Honey.
I'm kidding. That was a funny one, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're
funny. I'm kidding.
Yeah, but the whole purpose of this episode was really just to talk about how to love people where they're at on their journey with Jesus and not forcing them to give up sins that they're working through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there are certain scenarios where maybe you shouldn't be involved with it, depending on what it is. But the best thing you can do if you're sitting with someone that's still dealing with that sanctification process is just share with them what Jesus has saved you from,
mm-hmm.
and what you gave up and what you came out of. I've had a couple conversations with some people in my life about just, hey, this is what I've dealt with. This is where I'm at now. Like, he can help you, you know? But yeah, I just hope that helps you guys love people better in the way that Jesus wants us to love him and share his word.
Yep. So with that being said, we love you guys, and we will catch y'all next Wednesday on the tripod.